إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, inshallah we'll start today a series on the adab of learning and the stages and steps of learning. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to say what is beneficial and to take benefit from it and save us from that which is not beneficial. The first and foremost step of learning is adab, is respect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this also in Surah Taha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the story of Musa alayhi salam. And when Musa alayhi salam went to get some fire from the valley of Tuwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first instruction that Musa alayhi salam got when he reached that place was فَخْلَعْنَا عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُوَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, take off your shoes, you are in the sacred valley of Tuwa. Now, it's not about taking off shoes or putting on shoes. It is about the attitude of adab, of respect, when it comes to the getting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Now, unfortunately, today we live in a world where these things have to be told to adults. Alhamdulillah, at least when I was growing up, we learned these things when we were very, very young. Nobody had to tell us. And even what we learned, I actually don't recall anyone telling me things like what I'm about to say. We just learnt it because we lived in that environment, alhamdulillah. Our elders behaved like that, so we learned by seeing them. For example, how to sit. Generally also, but especially in a dini majlis, in a gathering where you are learning about Islam, where you are listening to a lecture, a bayan, a khutbah, in a masjid, or even if it is not in a masjid, somewhere else. How to sit was not, nobody taught us how to sit. We learned how to sit. And we learned how to sit was, you sit on the floor. Unless there is a problem, of course, welcome to sit on a chair. But otherwise, sit on the floor. Sit in the position of tashahud or with your feet folded, like all of you are sitting. No one had to actually tell us that it is not proper to sit with your feet stretched out, legs stretched out. Especially stretched out towards the speaker, because you are facing the speaker. Now you can't stretch your legs out to the back. So if you are stretching your leg out, it goes to the speaker. So no one had to actually tell us that don't sit with your legs pointing towards the speaker. Kisi ko bolne ki zarurat nahi thi. Ustad ki taraf pair karke mat baitho. Ye bolne ki zarurat nahi padi kisi ko. We learned, that's how our parents. No one had to tell us that you go to a dini majlis or you go before an ustad, then you go dress properly. And what is proper dress is not to that you should wear a sherwani or a thobe or something. Dress which is proper and appropriate to the occasion. Right? So we never went wearing long johns or shorts just below the knees or things like this, or tight t-shirts and so on and so forth. So I don't want to describe all the stuff that we unfortunately have to see. So that was the second, how to dress. We never went. I mean, I do not recall a single occasion where I went without a cap on my head. Barana sir, to badon ke samne barana sir nahi jaate the. Ab to aaj to Allah ke samne bhi bad jaate hai. So the whole point is that, you know, wearing, it's not a question of if I without a cap is my salah valid. Your salah is also valid without your pants. If you wear, as long as your the area between your belly button and your knees is covered, your salah is valid. It's valid without your shirt. It's valid without your pants. You can wear a half lungi, your salah is valid. Magar wo zarurat ke tahat, if you are in that kind of a situation of dire necessity, it's a different matter. But no one in his right senses will go to a masjid without a shirt, saying that my salah is valid. Where is it written that there should be a shirt? Quran mein khali kaha hai. People make these stupid questions. So the point is that it's the issue of adab, issue of how to dress, how to sit, how to dress. Sitting with attention towards the speaker, listening to the speaker, looking at the speaker. All of these things. And I tell you, I now have to recall what we were taught. Even that recalling is difficult because we never learned these things as specific points to note down. We learned them because we lived in that environment, alhamdulillah. We lived with people who had manners, so we didn't have to be told specifically each particular one. Sitting there, if you had to get up, if you went to a majlis and you knew that you were going to leave early, then you sit in the back so that when you get up and go, you don't disturb people. You don't sit in the front and then walk all, across people. Similarly, when you enter, if you come late, you sit wherever there is place. You don't come over the shoulders of people to try to get to a particular position and so on. Adab also in terms of your own attitude when you go there, which is a very, very critical thing. We never went to find fault with the teachers. We never went. We were taught ke badon ka badon ki galti pakadna khud galti hai. You know, to point out the mistakes of elders itself is a big mistake. Alhamdulillah, I've had some, at least according to me, some of the finest teachers that anyone could wish to have. But today, if I recall some of the things about those teachers, because many of them were, I'm from here, from India, so many of my teachers were Indian. So today, if I recall their recitation of Quran, there were mistakes in tajweed. Right, but I would not even dream. A question of pointing out the mistake to the teacher, even the question will not arise even in my khabar. there is no way that I will ever do that, to point out the mistake to the teacher to say that your tajweed is wrong. And also, I consider it an honor, a matter of my acceptance before Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, to have the opportunity to pray behind the teacher, even if his tajweed is wrong. That is at least my approach to learning. But today we have people who will wait to point out a mistake to the teacher. They will sit in a 3-hour lecture or 2-hour lecture, and the only thing that they find at the end of that lecture is that this teacher made this one mistake. Yeah, and I've told this story before, and I'm saying it because it's both a funny story and also illustrates attitude. I was doing a lecture on Sirah in Malaysia. And it was the last lecture for the day, so it finished by about 9:30 in the night. And it was, I think, about an hour and a half. So there were men and women both, different places. So one woman, the whole lecture finished, everybody left except the organizers. They were there, and this one lady who had come to the lecture, she was waiting. So, and she said, "I want to speak to you." So I thought maybe she's got some questions, some doubts, she wants to clarify or not. So I said, "Yes, please tell me, what is it?" She said, "You drank water with your left hand." Oh, pura ded ghanta lecture sunke, thair ke ye bolke gai. Now, I'm not saying, last thing in the world, I want someone to praise me and say, you did a great thing and whatnot. But I'm saying, just think about the attitude, all that she had to do. And may Allah protect me. I'm sure I drank water with my left hand. I'm not saying she's wrong. I'm sure she's right. What happens in many of these places is they give you a handheld mic. Now, I'm a right-handed person, so I hold the mic in my right hand. Now, as I'm speaking, if I get thirsty, they put the water also on your left. So, unthinkingly, it's not as if I drank water with the intention that I must do something against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can I break the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Was this my niyyah? Without thinking, I drank water with my left hand. That is the only... She waits to tell me that. Ajeeb, what kind of mentality? Another time I was lecturing, I did a Jummah khutbah in one very big masjid. And then after the khutbah in the Jummah salah, I think in the second rakat, recited the last ayat of Suratul Hashr. So starting from Law Anzalna Hadal Quran to the end. Now in that recitation, after Law Anzalna Hadal Quran, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ This ayah I forgot. And I forgot, I didn't even realize I forgot. I just omitted the ayah, finished the whole recitation. Now, technically, that's not even a mistake in salah. There's no problem. If somebody misses an ayah, misses an ayah. And I completely forgot. I didn't even occur to me. Now, after this khutbah and salah and everything is over, there's a long line of people waiting to meet. So everybody meets and, you know, greets and so on, so on, so on. Now, there's one guy, maybe 20-something, he's also waiting in the line. And he was quite far back. So that means he waited for some time until I got to him. He said, Assalamu alaikum. Then he says, which is the ayah after Lawanzala Hazal Quran? So I said, Tilka Lamsal Nadru. You missed that. And he left. So I said, Alhamdulillah, I missed it, I agree. He's one third my age. I am three times his age. And this is the adab. Now, I'm not saying that he is wrong. What he pointed out was a mistake. I did make the mistake. I'm talking about the way it is done. First of all, whether this is necessary at all is a question. And secondly, even if you think it is necessary to point out the mistake, the way of doing it. The reason I'm saying this is because when you approach Islam with this attitude, believe me, you will never learn anything. You will never ever learn anything. I know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalal is my witness. Whatever I know today is not, I'm not being modest or anything. This is the haqq. Whatever I know today is not the result of my effort. I know exactly how much effort I make. It is not the result of my intelligence. I know how intelligent I am. I'm not a fool, but I'm also not Imam Ghazali. It is not the result of any of these things. It is only and only the result of the dua of my parents and my teachers. Nothing else. It is the dua of my parents and my teachers. But that dua you will never get if you don't approach the teacher with adab. You will never get. You can learn from morning till night. Nobody was a bigger alim than Iblis. So if you become the biggest alim in the world, then you are equal to Iblis. In terms of knowledge, how much knowledge you know as much as Iblis. That doesn't mean anything. What means and what has meaning is accepted before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that comes number one requirement is adab. So when you go to a lesson, the first and foremost thing to do is to convince yourself and understand that you are the one in need. You are not going there to look at the ustad. You are not going there to look at... The ustad did never claim to be the Nabi of Allah. The ustad never claimed to be Jibreel alayhi salam. So what is the problem? If he makes a mistake, big deal. He never claimed that he is perfect. So forget the ustad. You are going because it is your need. If you feel it is not your need, save yourself the trouble. Don't go. Don't go. Live with whatever you have. Alhamdulillah, no problem. If you do not think it is your need, then do not go to that lecture. Do not go to the khutbah. There is absolutely no problem. It is between you and your Rabb. There is no need to go. It is not farz to go and listen to a lecture or listen to go to a majlis of or dars. It is not farz. If you don't go, you will not go to Jahannam. So don't go. Stay in your house. Stay wherever. Do whatever you want. Do your own reading. Wallah alam, may Allah be with you. But if you go, go only and only if you believe that it is your need. So convince yourself first. This is my need. And if it is your need, go there and sit there like somebody in need. Go and sit like a fakir, like a bhikari, like somebody who is begging for alms. Sit with that attitude. I am a fakir, I am a bhikari in this majlis. I need this, you know, 2 paisa worth of knowledge that if I get. Because that one word can change you from Jannah to Jahannam, from Jahannam to Jannah. That one word can change it. That one word of hidayat, if it comes in your heart, it can change you from Jahannam to Jannah. What is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? 2 sentences. That's the difference between one end to the other. So it's not the question of learning one whole kitab or becoming a mufti or no. It's a question of 2 sentences. It's a question of adab. It's a question of understanding. Go, number one thing, go knowing that it is your need, not somebody else's need. And then go and sit like a person in need, with all the lawazimat of that, of being in that situation. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do what is pleasing to Him and to learn to give us the opportunity to learn and the attitude of learning. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.